You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC.
This is a special edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. My name is Tom Bump, your host. But I had the privilege of joining in with a bunch of guys who are bloggers and podcasters at the Orange Conference this year in Atlanta. And the whole conference was themed as One Voice, We Can Do More Together. And so we as bloggers felt like, why not bring our voices together in an Orange recap? So we hope you'll enjoy this special episode. Listen all the way to the end. You can get the contact information and the other blogs and podcasts from these guys. And I would highly encourage you to subscribe to each one of the podcasts and let them know that you're listening. Again, thanks for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast and enjoy this special episode of the Orange Recap.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. We got five guys in the room digitally, and we're going to be talking all about the Orange Conference. My name is Steve Cullum. For those of you that are familiar with my podcast, the Student Ministry Podcast, I interview student ministry people about student ministry world. And I've been in youth ministry for about 15 years and love doing it, working with middle school and high school students. And this has been, I think, maybe the sixth or seventh, something like that, Orange Conference that I've been to. So really looking forward to talking to you guys. Bump, you want to tell us a little about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Tom Bump, and I'm the host of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. And so we do all things kind of kids and family leadership stuff. And I hail from just south of Cleveland, Ohio. And it's been my, I think my sixth or seventh Orange Conference that I've been at. So I'm looking forward to hanging around, as I say on the Kid Ministry Collective, the virtual round table.
And I'm David Madron, host of the World of Kid Men podcast. And Orange Conference 2018 was number five for me, but number one on the Orange blogger team, which was really, really cool. So I do podcasts about children's ministry, obviously, and family ministry stuff, and just looking at ways to help encourage our elementary aged kids.
Cool. Well, I'm Nick Blevins. I host the Family Ministry Podcast. And Dave, when you said this was your number one for the blogging, I thought you meant like you were the number one blogger, which I thought, man, that's pretty bold. Probably true, but you know, that's pretty bold. That's awesome. So yeah, I serve at Community Christian Church in Maryland, and Next Gen Pastor. And on my podcast, try to have all kinds of different voices and I call it family ministry, but basically birth through high school. In terms of which Orange Conference, I think I've only missed one. So I don't know how many there have been, 11 or 12. I went to the first one, which was really funny because it was in a different building. I don't know if any of you guys were there, but it was super crowded because they probably didn't realize how big it was going to be even back then. And there were like breakouts in with like curtains that separated the breakouts. So like you could hear the other. It was a different experience for sure. And then I think I missed the next one. And then I've been ever since. So, yep, it's been a lot of fun. This year was no different. It was excellent.
Hey, everyone, I'm Tom Pounder, and I blog and podcast at ymsidekick.com, and I kind of talk about student ministry, family ministry, and digital kind of stuff. I'm an online campus pastor as well as a student minister, and I've been at Orange ever since 2011, although I did miss one year somewhere in between there. I don't remember which year it was, but Orange Conference is one of my favorite conferences to go to, and I look forward to it every year. I think I cried a lot that year I didn't go. but I was nice. Glad to be there with everyone this year and talk about it with you guys today. So I'm really excited about this.
We cried too, just so you know.
I was going to say, we always miss you, Tom.
That's right.
Oh, thanks. You guys are the best.
Cool. Well, let's talk about some highlights from the conference this year. We can just kind of go in order. Maybe we'll start with you, Bump, if you just want to maybe one highlight that was really kind of stood out to you from the conference this year. The theme was this one voice idea, they kind of took it in different ways. Maybe there was something that stood out to you. We'll just kind of go around the horn and talk about that.
Yeah. Boy, there was a lot of great stuff. I think I'm actually going to go in reverse. I think one of the best worship experiences and probably one of the best finishes I've seen at Orange was Louis Giglio. And I had heard his talk at another conference, but he did it differently for Orange. And the focus on the name of Jesus was just insanely powerful. In fact, I stopped taking notes and just lost myself in it. So for me personally, that was a very powerful, powerful time. I think there were two quotes that have stuck with me. One was Andy Stanley about unity is mission critical and disunity disrupts the mission. I thought that was spot on, that as the body of Christ, we've got to find ways to unify and get back on mission for that. So I think that was really good. The other one was Ryan Leak. Man, the dude was spot on again, dropping truth bomb after truth bomb. And his one quote, "Are we vulnerable and authentic enough to reveal our kryptonite along with our cape?" Because we often, as leaders, try to be heroes, but yet we need that authentic community and be vulnerable enough to say, "Hey, this is what's hamstringing me. This is my kryptonite. And can I share that with you? And can I be safe in sharing that?" Because we say we want to create that for students and children, but yet as leaders, we don't create that for ourselves. And I think those were two very powerful talks. Three. It was a way to wrap it up. But then those two were just amazing. So, yeah, Nick, what about you? Or David, what about you?
Yeah, I would say session six, right there at the end. Of course, Ryan Leak, I mean, that man just brings it every time he's on the stage. Last year, it really kind of jolted some things that I do in ministry now, just based off of how he was interacting with people that he saw on a daily basis. And then to bring the conversation more into ministry leaders and how we are, we're quick to help and want to help fix others and encourage people to that, but we really neglect ourselves. But session six, right there at the end, when Reggie and just that community of Black leaders was just, it was overwhelming. It was just that good. I thought Dr. Bernice King last year was, I didn't think anything could top that. I mean, because it's Dr. Bernice King, but this year just seemed, it just seemed to be more impactful. And I love that Reggie is help leading this movement on behalf of white evangelicals, really to help unify communities and help unify the church as a whole by just leaning in and wanting to be a part of the conversation and creating conversations. What about you, Nick?
I would say that moment was definitely a highlight. I think it's one of my favorite moments the last couple years. And I think what makes it even more powerful is that I've seen enough to know how real it is for like Reggie, so it's not just something to talk about on stage. And obviously he got teared up this time and was emotional and all that. But after Orange tour last year, when we were at the stop near us, it was kind of late after the tour had ended and Reggie was out in the lobby and I got to talking with him with a friend from our church. And I was saying how even at tour, there was that same kind of moment there. It was different how they did it, but I thought they did a great job with that. And I was saying that I thought he did a great job with that. And his first response was, "Did you really think so? Like, what else could we do?" I mean, just totally humble, like, man, he is driving he's a driving force for racial unity more than, many leaders we know in the church world. And yet there he is asking me, what do I know? What I thought and how it could be better. And was it enough? And like, what else could we do? Like the whole thing. I just love that he lives that out. A different moment for me, Orange Conference, my favorite is always the people. the Orange staff and you all, and just there's so many connections. It feels like there's, you know, 1,000 friends, and then 6,000 other people aren't your friends yet. They're going to be this week, you know, or whatever. And there was a moment where he had Kenny Conley organize this for Next Gen Pastors where, hey, if you want to meet up and hang out and talk over lunch on Thursday at the other building. So if you had breakouts over there. And so like 25 to 30 of us had chairs that we stole from like an overflow and set up in the hallway. And we were just talking practical stuff. Like, how do you align a Next Gen ministry? How do you partner with parents? You know what I mean? And I was like, this is really cool for people to sit in this circle. And of course the volunteers and staff were like, hey, can y'all clean this up? Like, we got breakouts starting in 15 minutes and you're blocking the hallway. But anyway, that was a lot of fun. It's just cool to connect with new people and hear some ideas. Like, there were some great leaders in that circle who are doing amazing things. That we talked about marriage ministry and a couple of the churches and what they're doing. So that was a highlight for me for sure.
Yeah. For me, it was that time on Thursday night where John Acuff and Reggie Joyner personally invited me over to an after party, and we got to party all night long. I'm kidding. That in my dream that happened. On my dream Thursday night that happened.
What was your Thursday night dream? Which was the highlight? I get it.
No. But personally, for me, I love how many different voices Orange brings to share with us. I mean, I know our theme was one voice, but so many different people from different perspectives and different backgrounds getting to share with us, that is what really I look forward to, because you never know who's going to come out. I mean, obviously they have a speaker list and everything, but I mean, again, the fact that we had Jen Hatmaker come and share with us this year. In the past, we've had other people share with us, how we had Louie share with us this year. It's just great that they bring different voices, different perspectives, but all the same theme, and all about, again, this year was about working together and we can do more together. And I just loved hearing every session, whether it was a breakout or was a main session, just a different voice saying the same thing from their different perspectives. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's what we're kind of doing here, coming together on one voice. And I always love hearing from people that I've never heard of at an Orange conference. I feel like last year it probably was Ryan Leake. I hadn't heard about him until then, and I was blown away. Like you guys have said, just like, wow, this guy's some amazing wisdom and great content. And I was looking forward to hearing him this year. And so I think that's, we get both, you know, the well-known people that we know are really good, but then we get to hear new voices that are, you know, it's just speaking some amazing wisdom into this thing as well, and all coming around and seeing different people, you know, old friends and making new friends is always a great thing. But I think probably the biggest highlight for me, I'll go back to what you said, Bump. I think the focus around Jesus was just so awesome. I think we started off well when Andy Stanley spoke, I think the Wednesday morning. That was a really cool moment. And then it ended on an even more powerful moment just around the name of Jesus. And like, I think that's probably one of the biggest things that always that stuck out to me throughout the whole thing. If we can just come around the name of Christ and proclaim him above every other name, all those disagreements and arguments and everything should fall to the wayside when we just elevate the name of Christ. And I think that was a really, really cool focus for us to just bring it back to him above everything else. So I'm hoping that you guys had at least one idea. I'm sure you probably had like 20 different ideas, like things that really stood out to you that you wanted to walk away with. Bump, was there like kind of what, maybe one idea that rose to the top that you're like, yeah, this is my big takeaway from this year?
Ooh, wow. You know, as I was thinking about that question, I was like, wow, how am I going to find one? So I'm going to cheat, because I gotta say that there's two things that I looked at. One was that really struck me as far as we talk about together we can do more. And one of the burdens I have is for families in our church. And really, you know, we talk a lot about partnering with parents, but most of us will admit we're not doing a good job of it. And I notice a lot of cynicism towards parents, you know, that, well, they don't care, they're too busy, they don't want to make time. And I think that's carrying over, and that's limiting what we can do. And I just realized that, you know, it's got to start with me and my attitude. And when I was in John Acuff's breakout about kids and technology, I mean, he brought some stuff that I was like, you know, I'd heard some of this around in different blogs and stuff, but it really rattled my cage to think, wow, we have really got to help parents be prepared for some of this stuff because they're so vulnerable right now and they don't know. And so I think we have a great responsibility to come together with a voice that's loud and clear to say, parents, we truly are for you and we want to help you. And so we're going to do some talking and we're going to do a lot of listening because that's one of the things I heard from the main stage, just like with racial reconciliation, we need to listen more. We need to listen and then we need to respond. And so with kids, you know, realizing that we're, you know, Johnny Kiff said, we're straddling that next generation of, that's really the last generation to remember what it's like to not have the internet. I mean, I was like, wow, this is, you know, that's crazy to think that the generation that's come, that's birthed now, they're not going to have a clue that the internet never existed. And so how do we help parents? How do we engage them to help them help their kids? And so I felt like, you know, a takeaway for me was to say, okay, I need to get a strategic plan. I need to start asking questions of parents and how I can better listen to them. And if I could share one more, it was again, it's something that I've known, but it just hit me hard as far as I haven't been doing a very good job of it. And that was with Jeff Surratt about leading your team to go farther, faster. And, just talking about how the whole idea that, you know, leadership development is kind of like one of those all skate moments, you know, the old skating rinks and all skate, you know, and that's kind of what we approach leadership development at, but it's really not effective development. And it really does take the model that Jesus took of finding that 12 and then finding that 3 and really truly investing in them. And so I came away with that desire to really get a good solid plan down on paper that I'm going to work and work hard at developing my 12, developing my 3 so that I've got a good, strong leadership team and that we really are communicating that we're about equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. So, David, how about you? What was your 1, maybe 2 takeaways?
I am a huge Jeff Henderson fan and have been for a number of years now, and I love what they are doing at Gwinnett Church. So I sat in on his breakout on Thursday, you know, talking about just being for your community, and they have really modeled that whole for initiative so well. I mean, to the point to where as a multi-site church, Gwinnett Church now has a multi-site campus of their own. So that speaks so well of what they're doing right at Gwinnett Church. And they are, you know, they're making people feel like they belong before they believe, you know, and Jeff has said that numerous times. And so for me, in the role as our church's outreach guy and local missions guy, it's really just trying to dive in a little bit more to what practices perhaps Gwinnett Church is doing that could translate over to what any church could do to just help the health of the church and to get out in the community more and to bring some presence and awareness to our churches. So that was, you know, the notes I took, you know, just all go back to, you know, what can I do as our church's outreach guy to bring more focus, to bring more folks into the fold, meet them where they're at, you know, build some relationships with them, and give them opportunity to feel like they belong before they believe. What do you think, Nick?
I would say there's definitely a bunch of ideas. I try to, like, when I keep notes in main sessions or breakouts, I try to write action items separately too sometimes. So there's like ideas, but then there's like, no, I definitely got to go do that one. One I thought about was in that conversation I mentioned with next gen leaders in the middle of lunch there. A couple of the churches are really utilizing married people strategy from Orange, which is certainly, I think, one of the lesser known, lesser used pieces of the Orange strategy. And up until now, I would say probably it's been fine that we haven't leaned into there, because I'm just a big believer that when you partner with parents, you kind of, you got to start with the most important things and then you add things on as you can. And for different size churches, I think it looks different too. Like, I don't think a church of one size needs to do everything. And you know what I mean? I think it's just different, but I feel like we're at the point where we could lean in there. And what I liked about it is, you know, married people using what they give you, you could either implement a version that is going to take a good bit of your time. Like, you could do live events, right? And you bring married couples in and do the live event and, you know, prepare that whole thing. And that would be great. But then there's also the version where you're just equipping them with some of the content and ideas. And it's kind of like, go do it on your own. And you'll probably get different levels of effectiveness. But that's one thing I walked away with, was we could certainly start doing more there. And we could even start on the low end where it doesn't take as much time from us, and then just see what we hear. And if there's some momentum behind it, then start throwing some time and resources at it. So that was one practical thing I walked away with.
Yeah, that's awesome, Nick. For me, I went into Orange really looking to learn more and grow in the whole realm of volunteer leadership. Volunteer leadership is always something that's a passion of mine, but I also, the reality was, this past year I've been in and out of student ministry for different reasons with our church. And I went into Orange saying, okay, I got to get back in this fold of really learning how to recruit, train, and develop volunteer leaders. So I picked some different tracks out there about volunteer leadership. And one of the ones that I went to was just discovering what volunteers really want with the middle school perspective, from Ashley Bohens. And she gave just four really cool things that I weren't necessarily new information, but it was a great reminder, and it affirmed a lot of things that I was thinking in my head. And I realized, okay, I'm not crazy to think this way. This is what really I'm seeing. And she's just really confirmed it. And the four ones are real quick, simple. They want to follow a great leader. They want to serve in a place that fits. They want meaningful training, and they want authentic community. And I'm all about community. I'm all about growing with our leaders and providing that authentic community. But and the serve in a place that fits, it's not one. I always go in the mindset, at least when I was early on in student ministry, that here's the job description of what a volunteer leader looks like. You got to fit this mold or you can't serve, basically. Well, over the years, I've discovered that doesn't work. And then for her to say they want to serve in a place that fits, everyone can serve in something different. And I think that was really enlightening and just confirming to me of, hey, this is the right direction to take. So I was really encouraged by her session.
Yeah. So one of the things, Tommy, like how you mentioned, you know, you purposely signed up for workshops that kind of take you in a direction that you thought you would really needed to grow. I felt like I kind of did that, but I think the Holy Spirit was guiding me and picking things before me, because I didn't realize the theme that I had chosen for myself until I actually got there and started seeing just everything start layering on top of each other. But it was a really cool moment. So for listeners of my podcast, they know that I've recently started at this new church. It's a lot larger church than I've been used to. And so it's a different experience within student ministry to work with a staff and, you know, having to interact with a lot more staff at the church and all these different things and trying to grow the ministry to the next level. And so one of the big things that stood out to me was this was how to grow a ministry to that next level. And so one of the biggest ones that stood out to me practically was Crystal Chang's one I'm about like layering leadership. And so I always had this idea, you know, that we, you know, I need to be leading the small group leaders. And eventually, you know, even Orange talks about how we should have coaches in place for small group leaders. And so, you know, I lead the coaches lead the small group leaders lead the students, and which made sense, everything to me. But one of the things that she was saying, okay, add even more layers into it so you can really scale and multiply over time. And so that ministry can continue to grow and you're empowering and equipping other leaders. And all of a sudden, like there was a chart and it just made sense to me when I saw it, she provided, which is really, really cool just to see how the ministry can be structured. Cause I always thought of it like a hierarchy sort of thing, if that's how it should work, but really just a changing of how it was structured into like a circular quadrant sort of area all of a sudden just clicked for me. I'm like, man, this is how it could be structured. So having, you know, a quadrant of large group ministry and a large group, or a quadrant of small group ministry, a quadrant of parent ministry, and a quadrant of what they call logistics. I'm still not sold on that name, but the idea of like kind of everything else in your ministry, and then just having leaders over that and leaders over those things, and continue to break it down over time. And I think a couple of you guys said too, like empowering those leaders to do what they can do in those areas and really equipping them. And so that all of a sudden just like made sense to me. And then I attended a couple other breakouts about how to structure teams for the like going further and faster and all these different things, just like, okay, this is what the next step is. And so one of the ones I went to was a breakout with other high school leaders. And it was more a discussion kind of based thing. And one of the questions they ask is what's something you need to stop doing? And all of a sudden there's the Holy Spirit laid it on my heart. I was like, I know exactly what I need to stop doing. Like, and I've never realized it about myself until this moment, is I need to stop thinking that I have to have everything in a really good place before I hand it off to someone else. And like, as soon as I realized that about myself, I was like, that's how I can take the ministry to the next level, is when I start empowering people before I figure it all out, is I bring them on and then we build together. And that was like one of those big, you know, realization moments. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't realize that about myself until this moment. But yeah, I think it's just about, yeah, how do I grow the ministry, or how does God grow the ministry through me, and how to structure things and how to empower people for the long haul.
I'd love to see the notes from that breakout of, you said, of Crystal and, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I just made a note. I want those.
Yep, and she actually shared them, which was really cool. So I could nice. Pass on that email to you guys, and I'm going to see, I'm going to ask her and see if it's okay if I kind of share it out there on our blog as well, because it's a really cool structure.
Cool. Yeah, that's you know, cool. I think the You Lead Day, obviously, I think all of us were there, you know, and the whole focus on the volunteer structures and how to really, truly equip. And a lot of us are scared. I mean, I think a lot of leaders, especially in smaller churches, we get a little nervous about the whole idea of equipping volunteers, because we're afraid that somebody's going to do it better than we are going to do it, or they're not going to do it the exact same way we're going to do it. And I loved that thought, Steve, because that was something that Jeff Surratt, I think, talked about. Sounds like we were in similar focus breakout kind of things, because, you know, he talked about, you know, handpicking your team. I love his line, Jesus didn't use sign up sheets to recruit.
That's great.
He didn't walk around Jerusalem passing out, hey, do you want to be one of my disciples? Sign up now.
He makes me laugh so hard. He is awesome. Like, he's just hilarious.
Yeah.
So wise.
But I loved his thing about making leadership development a team sport. You know, I love sports. And so that whole idea of identifying, developing and deploying other leaders. And that's kind of what you were saying, that those surfaces, those levels. And I think that's really good.
How did you all like the You Lead Day? Speaking of that, because I thought that was great too. It was a whole new approach where it's kind of like it's all about volunteers, and mostly they built on each other. And I know they had way more people attend You Lead Day this year than in the past, and it makes sense too, because it's like, oh, volunteers, that's probably the number one felt need. What did you all think about that, or was there something that stood out from that day for you?
Yeah, I think it was really good as well. And I think it was cool to take that approach. I loved seeing more people, because I've always thought, like in the past before I started attending the pre-conference kind of stuff, is that, you know, there needs to be more here. Like, which is weird, because, you know, sometimes you feel like you're drinking from the fire hose already. But there are some other things that they have maybe, I don't know, left out or weren't able to touch in the regular conference. And so that was really cool to see.
Maybe the other guys didn't attend You Lead Day. They were
no, I did. I didn't want to jump in on someone who did it. Again, I love the You Lead Day, because it just provides you with a little bit of more instruction and encouragement before you do. Again, the breakouts that happened during the Orange Conference is fantastic, but this just gives you an extra added source of knowledge. And again, they usually pick some really good topics to be offering. And again, I got a ton of stuff out of it, and it was just great to connect. And again, because the crowds are a little bit smaller, you're able to talk with the presenter a little bit easier, and that was something I really enjoyed as well.
I also like, one of my favorite things about you, Lead Day, is it's not as many people, so the hallways are less crowded. It's always fun to come back on Thursday when it's like 7,500 people, and it's like, whoa.
Wow, I thought
it was crowded yesterday, and now it's like, you know, I can't even move.
Yeah, it went from like 2,500 to, you know, almost 8,000 people doing the orange shuffle in those hallways. It was like, man, you better love people. I'm talking about one voice. I think we were almost one body.
Especially the day that it rained, because it drove us all inside. So.
Yeah, and you know what? That was a cool thing, though. You know what? It showed how Orange was even ready for the details. I got to give them props. There were people out there ready by the doors with ponchos to help alleviate, you know. And so I was one of those, man. I pushed my way across. I grabbed one of those ponchos. I threw it over my head, and I was running out down the bridge alongside the building, because I was not going to shuffle with those other 8,000 people.
Did you push somebody in the water? That's what I'm thinking. I can picture you. Get out of here.
We were all wet enough. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered.
You
know,
you wouldn't have noticed the difference.
But I gotta give a shout out to the Rethink team for even being prepared for a day like that, because they were ready. They had them at all the doors, and that was impressive. But yeah, I love U League Day. I think a lot of people don't take advantage of, but I liked how you could go to a Kidmin, a student ministry. And you were, in some ways, you were getting the same content, because I was watching and I'm like, man, is somebody, you know, are one of you guys in the room? Because you're tweeting out the same stuff I'm tweeting. So it was the same outlines, but everybody had different communicators and a different focus. And I loved that for people, that way volunteers that were there and other leaders that were there could really get some good content and to really think through some good takeaways to go home and say, okay, how can I make over my volunteer structure? What do I need to think about? And am I really executing it when I get home? So I loved it.
That's cool. Yeah, I do like how there was a lot of breakouts this year. And I think there's probably been in the past too, but I just especially noticed it this year, that were based on like church size and different situations. Because I think that's a lot of times, you know, being in a small church for a long time, I go to conferences and hear these grandiose ideas, and that's fantastic. But how do I implement in my church of 150 people or less or whatever? And so it's cool to have some structure like built around like, okay, this is how it works at this scale, and this is how it works at this different scale.
One of the things I wanted to touch on as far as U Lead Day went is I went to Kenny Conley's breakout on navigating infant loss and infertility. As that's something that I'm very familiar with now, in having lost an infant baby at 3.5 months old back in 2014. And Orange has an absolute great resource there in the Made Known event that people just aren't running to yet. I mean, we talk, you know, just about how great Orange is about putting out resources. This is another one of those resources that's very rarely known, that's underutilized. Now, it was just launched last year at conference, so it's still, you know, fairly new out on the market. But it was really, really awesome to have a breakout on it, and really to see Kenny put, you know, just lay it all out there, as vulnerable as I've ever seen a man, you know, talking about the trials and the highs and lows of getting pregnant, and then, you know, losing the baby, and, you know, just all of those things. And as someone who's experienced those kind of things, it was really, really impactful, and, you know, just further energizes me to go and reach a crowd that hadn't felt connected by the church, because that's really a taboo subject. You know, I mean, who just goes out talking about, oh, well, my wife and I, we can't get pregnant, or, you know, this is our third miscarriage, or, hey, you know, we lost a baby at 3.5 months old. Those aren't conversations you're going to hear every day. You're not going to hear them at church. You're not going to hear them in the office, you know. So I love the resource. My wife and I have led a couple of those events here in the Kansas City area. already, and we're looking to do more. But again, I just commend Kenny and his wife on the vulnerability and saying, hey, we want to create something for families, for mom and dads to give some identity to the child, and for a community of folks to just come in and love on those families.
All right. So I think we probably need to wrap it up here. I think Bump's got a pretty hard out pretty soon. But I think it'd be cool to just kind of, since we're all on each other's podcast and everything this time around, maybe take just a moment to tell people where to find you online and where your podcast is. And if we want to connect with each other a little more, so you can do a little self-promotion here at the end. So Bump, you want to start us off?
Sure. Again, you can find my Kid Ministry Collective podcast on iTunes, and love to have you subscribe there. You can find me online, Twitter at PT Bump. Instagram is the same thing. My blog is also PT Bump, and would love to connect up with people, talk kid men, family men, all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
And there's a Facebook group.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Ministry Collective, right?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Man, forget my
plan. I'll be your promoter.
Hey, you are good at that. You are good at that. We all know. We all know. You know, Family Ministry Podcast with Nick Blevins. We got that. Yeah.
See, look, I don't even have to do mine now. He's got me covered.
Yeah. It's cross promotion. There we go.
But we do have the Facebook group, yes, and you're always welcome to come on there. We try to have good dialogue about different topics, and we've had some good ones recently, and so it's been a lot of fun on there.
Cool, David.
Well, I love being active on social media, so let's connect on Facebook at Dave Madryn, and then Twitter, D Madryn. Then we've got a fun website, davidmadryn.me. Last name is MADDRON. And then, of course, my podcast, which is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, The World of Kidmen. Would love to have you listen.
Tom's impressed that your podcast is available on 73 platforms. The easiest way to find me is just nickblevins.com, if you can spell it correctly. I think there's like a rugby player named Nick Blevins, which we could obviously be confused for, because, right? Like, I look like
totally. I totally. Yeah. You should have him on sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously. But if you Google it, you could probably find anything. Twitter and Facebook's the same. But Instagram is not. I was not cool enough to get my Instagram handle. So that's in A. Blevins. And here's a funny story about that. Years ago at the Orange Tour, we took a volunteer and he took a picture, was going to post it on Instagram and wanted to tag me. So he tagged at Nick Blevins. Well, meanwhile, it's like a 14 or 15 year old boy whose Twitter handle, because what it would do is it would translate it to Twitter. So it shows up on Twitter as his Twitter handle, okay, which is not Nick Blevins because that's me. And it says, at the Orange Tour with Chris and Swag Blevins. That was that dude's Twitter handle. That's it. I was like, that is pretty funny. And I don't ever want the title or the tag Swag Blevins. So I hope people don't think that's like really.
Oh, that's
on, yeah, dude. Swag Blevins.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? I told him, like, John, that's not me. Apparently, it's like some high school student. You might want to change that. And if you saw his Instagram profile, I was thinking, I don't want to be confused at all with whoever this is. Anyway, so that's years ago, though. That's a long time ago. Because nice. I'm like, who is this? Like, same last name, but, you know, that is not my Twitter handle. Anyway. Nice.
Swag Blevins.
I don't have, like, I need a bobblehead like Jim Wyman, you know? I don't have any. There's no swag. There's no Family Ministry Podcast swag.
Hey, I know where you can get some of those.
Nice. The businessman.
You say that's a call out to all the listeners. Like, if you start creating Nick some swag for his podcast.
For everybody. Like, see, that's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to reply. Like, and then what happens is, how many people buy it? Nobody. Nobody cares about Nobody cares about swag from our podcast. Anyhow, Tom, why don't you get us back on track?
Okay, so the best place to find me, you can go to ymsidekick.com. I got my podcast there. It's also on iTunes, but just go there. I got a cool Twitter ebook on there as well. I love Twitter, so that's the best place to connect with me, at TA Pounder. You connect with me there, I'll definitely respond to you because I'm always on Twitter. So YM Sidekick and at TA Pounder.
Cool. And I am at Steve Cullum everywhere on social media. So I was fortunate enough to get my name everywhere. So pretty much I've learned from some other tech pundits and things that I listen to. It's like, as soon as a new platform comes out, even if you're not going to use it, go on there, save your name. So unfortunately, like, I have a whole bunch of different social medias that I probably don't even use, but I went on there just to save my name. So, I'm pretty active on Twitter and Facebook and a little bit on Instagram as well. So you can look up that STEVECULLUM. And my podcast is the Student Ministry Podcast, and it's the studentministrypodcast.com. So you can check that out as well. It's a monthly podcast where I interview other student ministry workers. So, man, guys, it's been great to chat about Orange Conference with you guys today. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. Great time.
Great times.
Thanks, Steve.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.